this morning is going to minister us in a special way. If you today, if this morning you're feeling heavy, if you're facing any challenges in your life, could you raise your hand? Are you having any challenges and problems? Yeah. Why don't you open your hands, or open your arms? God is saying that even though you don't see it working, that He's working, but actually He's working right here, right now. Right this very moment, that Holy Spirit is working in you. Even though sometimes it could be your finances, could be your health, could be your family, could be a relationship problem that you are facing, something that you've been praying for. You see that, God, how come I haven't seen anything changes, but God is moving. He is doing something. He is working. You might not see it, but He is working. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this: do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God was just teaching me a while ago, God was reminding me about this verse. That every time, you know how worry comes to you? How worries come to you? You know, the world is full of depression now, is the main problem of the world. How anxiety, and you get anxious, all of a sudden worry comes to you and says, what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with my finances? Am I going to be able to pay this? Am I going to get healthy? How, is my relationship going to be patched up? But God is reminding me, He's teaching me, like every time that worry comes to you, turn it into prayer. Turn it into prayer. So if you are being reminded about what you are facing at this moment, turn it into prayer. This morning, let's turn it into prayer. I'll invite you to turn it into prayer in thanksgiving. Turn it into prayer, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly of what you can think and imagine. Amen. Why don't we give Him a big shout? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we surrender our life because we know that You are working. We are working through our life because we know the hope, the only hope that we can find is in You, is in cross. Thank You for Your grace, that it is sufficient for me and for this church. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Let Your name be glorified. Open our hearts as You minister through us. Speak to us. Convict us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Just before I start, can you ask the person next to you, are you happy sitting next to me? I haven't taken a shower, but I'm just telling you up front. Hey, go and ask. See what they answer. Are you happy sitting next to me? You know, I just came back from 3.5 weeks holiday with Genius family and my family. So we had a blast, right? But nothing feels like home. Honestly, we've been going through a lot of Hillsongs. And every week, we need to go to church, right? I mean, at least we know Hillsongs. So we've been going through Hillsongs in different cities, and it was great. It's amazing. I said, whoa, okay, we get to learn a few things. We got to hear, you know, the music itself. We hear the recording all the time, right? But one thing, this is the last trip. It was my last visit in Barcelona. It was the Hillsong Barcelona. They all speak in Spain, so I was here using all the translator. But again, I thought there's something missing. I don't know, Lord, why this is all great, but there's something missing. You know what? I found out that there's a whole lot different coming, visiting into a church and being planted in one. You know, there's something really like a hole missing. When I was standing there, I was like, this is great, but there's something missing. And I thought, I'm not a part of this. I don't know what they're calling, what they are praying for, why are they longing and yearning for, what they're praying for, you know, why they're reaching out. You know, at least in this church, I'm a part of it. It's so good. That's why I'm so glad to be here, to be back here. Amen. You ready to hear the word? Yes. Okay. You're okay with the guy next to you? All right, can we all read Ezekiel 37? Let me read it out to you as they put it on the screen. Vision of the valley of the dry bones. Ezekiel 37 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel was saying, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. Try to imagine. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. There's so many of them. And lo, they were very dry. He said to me, son of man, can this bone live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy over these dry bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you may come to life. I will put sinews in you, make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you that you may come alive. And you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a rattling. The bones comes together, bone to its bone. And I look, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they come to life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Amazing. Amen. Amen. As you try to imagine this valley, right? This valley is a picture of graveyard. It's a picture of dryness, a spiritual death. It's a picture of a place where God is void. It's a picture where there is no Spirit of God. And let me just switch on this thing. I want to show you what we might try to imagine. Might look like this, right? Yeah, Simba and Nala. That's what do they call it? Elephant graveyard, yeah? So this might be that picture. I believe it's going to be worse than that, okay? Ezekiel was brought by the Lord. And God actually asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? I imagine Ezekiel was looking at the bones and it was all dried and there were so many of them. Do you know, praying for a dead person is one thing. Praying for a bone to rise and become a person is a whole different thing, if you realize that. But nothing is impossible for God, I guess. So this morning, I want to talk to you about spiritual dryness. I know it's not a popular topic. Might tickle your ears a little bit. But I want to start by asking these questions. How are you this morning? Can you help me to ask the person next to you, how are you this morning? Put a big smile and ask. And I'll shake them like, seriously, how are you? Seriously, how are you? Well, I'm not really asking about, you got some funny answers? Yeah, I can't go to the loo this morning or whatever, you know? My tap didn't work. But I'm not really asking about your well-being this morning. Because that's a whole other story. Everybody face problems. Everybody face challenges. But I'm asking, how are you this morning spiritually? How are you really this morning? How are you with God this morning? I know this question might tickle you a little bit, but it's a very important question to ask. How are we doing with God. Let me give you a few more questions. How do you feel coming to the church this morning? Do you feel heavy? Or why should I be here? Why am I here? Or are you starting? Or are you starting to think about lunch? Do you need more reasons for you to come to church other than God? Oh, I got to meet my friends. Oh, at least I get to meet my friends. Oh, at least they don't judge me. I go to church. Do you need more reason for you to be here? So this morning, I want everybody to ask themselves questions. How am I doing with God? How are you feeling reading the Bible? Do you enjoy it? How are you feeling praying? You know when you go to Monday prayer? Do you feel tortured? Because we pray for hours? Or do you enjoy it? Do you delight it? Because here's the thing I want to ask you. Maybe we have lost the taste of God. Maybe, I don't know. I'm asking myself these questions every day. Have I lost the taste of God? Has the thing of this world become more sweeter? Has the thing of this world become taste better? Has your hobbies become something better? Has your career, what you're pursuing, tastes better than God? And that's why we, of course, Ivan, that's the whole thing, why we spend more time with work. Because this is a challenge for myself as well. As much as I am so passionate about my work, but how about God, where He is right now? How dry are you? Are we walking through a dry places? When you go to church, has God become so boring that you rather play with your phone and check your Instagram? No, I'm not. I'm not offending anybody, right? This doesn't happen in this place. Don't trust me. But because this is the problem that everybody's been through. I've been through it too. I'm not here to offend anybody. But Holy Spirit and the Word of God will convict us, right? And this is the first very question before I go through all the words. How are we doing this morning with God? I'll leave you there for a moment to check on yourself. Who went to the camp last week? Was it beautiful? Was it beautiful? How about we give God and the team a round of applause for what God has done in the camp? The camp is beautiful. I remember juniors asked the questions like, oh, what happened if the house is clean now? All the stronghold is pulled down and we are healed, right? But it's all empty. Will the devil come back? Yeah. In Matthew 12 and Luke 11, it says that the devil walketh through dry places. So they're actually looking for dry places. If you're dry, they'll come to you. They love dry places. So the camp was great, but how about after the camp? You know, this topic is a hard topic because it's one of the most difficult things is to maintain, right? How do you maintain that closeness with God? It's harder than just talking about revival and what God is doing right here. We can be so excited on the music, on a camp, then going back home facing problems, or not just problem, facing pleasure, because most of the time, good life leads to dryness. Sometimes we enjoy life more than God, and suddenly we become so dry without we realize it. So this is a hard topic because it's how, what's after, and so what? Yeah, the camp was great. And so what after that? Go away, Nala. Okay. What is spiritual dryness? John Piper says this. The essence of evil is losing the taste of God. I like this term. I think spiritual dryness is when you lose the taste of God. When prayer is no longer a beautiful time, spending time with God, experiencing His love when we first have it with Him, the first love. You know, when coming to church no longer an excitement, I get to hear the word and I get to worship God together with my friends. But it become a burden and a ritual. I just have to do it. What happened? What would people think if I don't go to church? We need the river of God. We need the river of God to continually flowing, overflowing from our heart. And this is what God's promise, and this is the gift of God, which is His Holy Spirit to flow through us. You know, on my term, the opposite of dryness is overflow. Are we able to live life overflowing? Because, you know, that's the only way actually we go through life and strive through all the challenges of life is when we have the river of God overflowing in our life. And He become the answer, and He is the only answer, and He is the one who is able to give the answer for all the challenges that we face. But we are so distracted from Him, and our focus is in our life. So John 7 says this, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out. So in the real Greek word, it says, cry out is really, he was shouting, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters. Now, this he said about the Spirit, the big S, whom those who believe in him were to receive. For as yet, the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet been glorified. I'll tell you a story about a river. So when we were in Europe, you know, me and juniors, we go around and we drove, and then we went to 13 different cities. No, I was actually 12. 13 is including Dubai. So, but 12 different cities in Europe. It was amazing, right? And sometimes we were so impromptu, like we go and check Tasha. We'll check in, and she's really good with that. And which one? Okay, we were driving, and I said, is there any really good food on a city that we passed through? And happened, she found out, Dusseldorf. Let's go to Dusseldorf. I don't know what is that. So we went to Dusseldorf. Apparently, is in Belgium. But, you know, we were so surprised by the view that we saw. We didn't really expect. We were just looking for food. And we stopped in the Rhine River. It was a beautiful river. You know, this river stretches from Amsterdam to Budapest. Actually, there's a river cruise. My friend tell me because he's scared of using cruise in the sea because they say in the sea, if it sink, you know, you don't know where to swim. At least in the river, you're fine. So he said, 18 days. And I checked, oh, yeah, scenic tour. It's so expensive. It's from Amsterdam. I think it's $11,000 or $12,000 per person for 18 nights, though. 18 nights, including everything. So I'm not selling anything. So, so you can go from Amsterdam to Budapest to many different cities. You know, I learned when I study about this word, you know, a lot of the city in the world, they really rely on the supply of water from the river. Except Indonesia, I'm sorry. There are a lot of river, but you can't use it. It's the toilet. No, it's getting better, okay? We're praying for Indonesia. It's going to be better. So this is not relevant for Indonesia. But I'm talking about Europe, okay?
And there was, it's just so, so beautiful. The river is not small. You know, even like Yarra River is already good, right? So we go to Yarra River. It's the main destination. You know, a lot of our photos that we took was related to the river. Every time there's a river, we take a photo. In London, in Amsterdam, in anywhere we go. Then when there's a river, nice. You know, even people take photo in Yarra River. So because when there's a river, there's flourish, there's life. And there's this interesting story that I found in Mississippi River. So Mississippi River is another river, one of the longest river in the world, right? It stretches 3,885 kilometers in America. It's so big. Look how beautiful the color and the water. It's so beautiful. It distributes to more than 18 million people each day, 62 countries and 110 counties. Amazing. So a lot, imagine a lot of the people are relying for this river. But there was an interesting story that I found. It was a city called Rodney, Mississippi. So in 1828, there was a city. This city was one of the major cities. It was flourishing, it was doing business, and people was vibrant and it's very dynamic. You know, the city is sitting right next to the Mississippi River. That's why it's called Rodney, Mississippi. And, you know, people do their transport and they I don't know, maybe they get fishes and people get water from it and the city become flourished. But guess what? Through times, Mississippi River started to redirect themselves away from the city. All of a sudden, after certain times, I forgot how long, but it's quite long, suddenly they were miles away from the river. Guess what happened? In Wikipedia, they told the population declined to near zero after Mississippi River changed its course. And now it has become a ghost town. Don't be deceived. Jimmy was asking me, why is it flooding? No, don't be deceived. It's actually now a dead town. Sometimes they get floods and all that, but it's a dead town because the river changed its course miles away from where the city were. Can you imagine? When the river, just like in our spiritual world life, when the river of God stopped flowing through our life, we'll die. We'll go to dryness. So this is a serious issue that we want to address here as a church. It's so easy for us to go into dryness, to the dry place, but it's very hard to get out. Now we're going to explore what's really causing them. I put just three different causes, right? The first one is called distractions. The distraction in your life, what is distractions in your life? I put it in this. Anything that is higher priority than God can be a distraction by itself. Anything in our life that has higher priority than Him can become a distraction. You know, Netflix can be a distraction. I am so worried about myself. Every time Netflix releases a new TV series. Because there are some TV series who got me really, really hooked. And I will substitute my time with God. Where I normally pray, kneel down near my closet. And suddenly I was reminded, I gotta watch this one. Hang on, it's not finished yet. Holy Spirit, you can wait with me. Sometimes the Netflix, you know, this is the funny one. Me and my wife on the weekends, like, okay, let's go and find some movie, right? Okay, I'm all excited, but now not so excited. You know why? Because I knew the first half hour or an hour we would spend scrolling down which movie we're going to watch. And that's even worse. Just trying to find the movie takes us ages. And then we found the movie, oh, TV series. Oh, let's watch this. Yeah. Oh, wow. 6 season, 10 episode each. Oh, how amazing. Where is God? I don't know. Let's pray, honey. So anything that is more priority, has more priority than God himself. It can be your hobby. It can be your relationship. It can be your boyfriend. It can be your girlfriend. It can be your son, your children. It can be anything. It can be your career. It can be the work itself. It can be ministry. It can be. Because we are being taught in this place, we need to minister out of the overflows. We need to prioritize God first. Another example is the purposeless life. Is your life purposeful? Are you running for something in God? Is there any calling in your life? Because remember David and Bathsheba. You know, David got so distracted by this beauty of Bathsheba because it was the season of war. And he was just sleeping and sitting there, and then on the veranda, what's that? Because a lot of the time, the distraction come when you're not pursuing God. Amen. So hopefully this will remind us this morning that be careful of the little things, the little distraction that comes into your life. Starting from the little things. Number two. Sin. Sin is the disease that everybody has. Sin, the disease that brought us to death. This disease supposed to bring us to the graveyard, to the image of the graveyard. That was our destination. This disease is incurable except by the cross, except by Christ. And this sin will slip through you slowly and slowly. You know, all the big addictions and the bondage doesn't come overnight. And the sin always shout to you. The devil will always shout to you, it's okay. It's okay. It's only this. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to kill you. Like, you know, when I go to Salero Quito, you know, it's a very tasty and yet unhealthy with Andy Tirta. And then I said, Andy, I feel guilty. I don't want to. And Andy will say, don't worry. It's not going to kill you. And then I would say, I was thinking like, Andy, hey, isn't that the devil saying? I said, like, sorry. It's actually, he's quoting the devil. Okay. So, but there are things in the life that you thought, it's fine, just a little bit. I'm just checking it out, a little bit of, you know, it's not pornography, it's not. I'm just looking at it a little bit. There are things like, it's okay. It's not even a flirt, you know. I'm just trying to be nice. Those little things is what kills you. Remember how Nala and Simba ended up here? They were thinking, oh, it's okay, it's not going to kill you, don't worry, I'm a man, I got to show daddy. Yeah. Scar said, yeah, you got to be careful. You know, you remember the movie, right? It's the little things that kill you. We were supposed to end up in a graveyard. This is another interesting story about the Mississippi. The researchers found out, what happened? So they did some study. This is real. So you can check it out on the Wikipedia. What happened? Why the river actually shifted? And why they changed course? And apparently they found out it's caused by all the little silt and sediment. You Google silt and sediment, is actually just mud, a mix of granules, like little things, silt and sediment. And that changed the river course. You saw how big is the river. It's not a canal. It's a big river. It shifted. That little things keep building up. It's okay. It's not going to kill you. Builds up. It's okay. It's not going to kill you. Builds up. And then it changed course. And suddenly you found out you're in a dry place. Number three. This is the most potent. This is the most potent weapon of the devil. What is it called? Bitterness. Hurt. Pain. Are you feeling bitter? Because bitterness is create distance between us and God. And bitterness create distance between us and the community that we live in. Because, you know, when you, I can't be bothered going to church. Yeah, I still heard, you know, last week, she said that. I can't imagine, she's my best friend. How could you, right? And Peter is so powerful. Because the devil knows when you stray away from the Lord, then you will lose your way and you'll be broken. This is his main weapon. So are you ready? Do you know there is only one solution to bitterness? It's forgiveness. Do you know John Piper put it this way? If I have it here, he says like this. Oh yeah, he quote from a verse, I think it's from Ephesians. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgive one another, as God in Christ forgave you, as God forgave us. And John Piper said that the beauty of forgiveness, it give you God. Forgiveness give you God. You know, sometimes we try to find an excuse. We'll try to find a reason to forgive. And we wait until that person suffer enough that I am satisfied that I can forgive. I put a quote like this. It's not an excuse, okay? Unforgiveness is not an excuse that we find through injustice and unfairness. But it's our failure to fully appreciate the cross. So unforgiveness is not an excuse that we find because it's not justice, because it's not fair. It's not fair. Can't you see what he's done for me, to me? No matter how big, because if you try to reason with how big is the mistake and how big is the damage done to you, you're not going to be able to forgive. How big is the mistake that we made in the eyes of God? And yet he forgave us. How do we get out of this? How do we overcome dryness? Anybody here want to get out of dryness? Anybody? Lift your hands. Everybody? Only a few people? How about everyone? Let's lift up your hands so the Holy Spirit can see you. Amen. Amen. Let's just read someone, okay? Blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruits in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What can we derive from this verse, from this passage? Number one, we need to be connected with God. That tree is in the river. Its root goes through the river. So we need to be connected to the river. We need to be connected to God. And there's no other way. It's by for you to turn your face on him. Turn around and see Jesus. You know, we can only be connected to him if we truly repent. There are many times where we say that we repented, but actually we just feel sorry. God convicted me one time, a while ago, when I said, sorry, Lord, I didn't mean to do this, blah, blah, blah. And the Holy Spirit said, are you feeling just sorry, or do you truly repent? And God follows by this statement in my heart. A true repentance seeks for intimacy with God. So if you say to yourself that I actually repent, but you're not actually drawn to him, you're actually not seeking that intimacy back again. You're actually just looking for redemption. You're only just looking for the benefits of getting off this guilt. We're not good with guilt. I feel shame. This guilt is heavy. Lord, please take it away. I feel sorry. I'm sorry. God forgive you and you feel better. That's it. But a true intimacy, you will go further than that. You will seek for that intimacy back again. So if you're facing problem, but you're not seeking Him, you're not truly repent. In Ezekiel 37, it says, then he said to me, God said to me, God said to Ezekiel, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. So even the bones were saying to God, help, our hope has gone. We have been completely cut off. Our hope has perished. You know, repentance begins by admitting, by acknowledging that, yes, our hope is gone. By admitting that we are broken. Yes, Lord, I am broken. We are all broken. Number two, in someone it says that these are the people who hangs around, not with scoffers, not with sinners, but people who hangs around people who is Christ-centered. Well, this is a perfect place God has provided us. Our friend who believe in God, who follow God, who fear God. So we need community to get out of our dryness. You know, a lot of the times, many of the problems, I was born again in this church for many, many years, and I've been through a lot growing up. And a lot of the challenges that I face it with all my friends here in this place who prayed for me, who fight for me. So do you even like your community? Do you even like these people who sits next to you? That's why I ask you a question. Are you happy sitting next to me? Or do you feel like, sometimes I hear, okay, I just want to go to the church. I don't like the people. I can't stand the people. But I just want to go to church. It doesn't work like that. God provided you, us, this community to love one another. That's why the devil tries to put discord and disunity all the time. But the question is, will you be that community? Will you embody it? Will you be yourself as a community to others? A community that helps others to follow Jesus. The last one. Can I have all the musicians come up? Trust in His Word. This is my favorite. You know, because a lot of things that we feel we are going through now is a feeling of dryness, a feeling of distance, a feeling of being lonely, that God is not here. But again, this passage is teaching us to trust His Word, to obey His Word. It's not through your feelings. It's not what you feel today. But it's what the Word of God is saying. It's what His promises are. You might be feeling so distant, but Lord, this has been ages, it's been years. It's been so far from You. That's what you feel. Remember the song? That's mean that He's not working. He's working in you. The Word says, draw near to Me and I'll draw near to you, and trust that Word. If you don't feel it, draw near. Keep drawing near. Lord, I don't feel You. Draw near. Lord, I don't feel You. Draw near. Lord, I don't feel You. Draw near. You know, in 1 Kings 18, God told Elijah, like, I'm going to send rain now. Because there was drought, a really bad drought and famine because of what Ahab was doing in the eyes of God. But in the end, because of God's mercies, God said, I'm going to send rain. And then He said to Elijah, go and check out the sea. See if there is any cloud, if there is any rain. So Elijah asked the servant, like, go and check out. The first time he goes, nothing there. It's nothing is dry. Second time it's dry. Third time it's dry. Only by the seventh time he saw, oh, I saw a cloud. And the rain comes. So even if you don't feel it, commitment over feelings. This is what I wrote. Commitment is the bridge to the next intimacy. Commitment is your bridge to that next intimacy. Can we all stand up? God asked Ezekiel, can these bones live? Can these bones live? This picture of hopelessness, but I want to impart something today that the picture of in Ezekiel 37 is a picture of brokenness, but at the same time is a picture of revival. Because revival begins from brokenness. Now, you might be ministering to your life group, to the people around you, and you see that this is impossible. How on earth this guy is going to know you, Christ? It's so hard. But remember, when you see hopelessness, you see revival. And it might be you. It might be yourself. You're looking at yourself like, it's impossible, Lord. It's been a while since I get that intimacy. Or maybe you don't know God. I want to taste that intimacy, that love. God is the God of hope. He is able, and hopefully you will start hearing that rattling noise of the bones coming in, because God is going to give breath. He's going to breathe breath unto you and for you to live again, to receive the revival. Let's just pray. Father, we just want to say thank you for the hope that we find in you, even though it's almost, sometimes it looks impossible. But Lord, we know that intentionally you come to us, and intentionally you, your grace, approach us. Just like the woman by the well, the Samaria woman by the well. She was so lonely. She feels so burdened with all the sinful life she lead. She goes to the well every day on a day when no one is there. But you came to her, you approached her, and you gave her that river, the river of living water for her to life, to live again. And that same hope, the same hope we believe that we will receive in Jesus' name. We rely on you. We're trusting in you, Lord, our life in your hands. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
You know, sometimes we look at our lives and And we're looking in, and sometimes we just feel like it's just messy. Just a lot of mess. Sometimes we feel even there's just broken pieces. And we're trying to keep ourselves together. Perhaps a person has hurt us, or people have hurt us, leaving our hearts even more broken. And sometimes in social settings, or when we're about to meet with people, we just try to keep it together. We try to, you know, gather all these broken pieces of our heart, and we put a facade on, and we're like, if I can just hold until the end of this meeting, and at home I can just be who I am. But you know, God sees those broken pieces. In fact, in Ephesians 2, it says that we are His masterpiece. Do you know what that means? It means that God came, and He knows the broken pieces that are in your, that are within you. He knows the brokenness of our hearts, and He came to put those pieces back together through moments with Him, through moments of walking with Him and trusting in Him. And He puts those pieces back together that eventually you become His masterpiece. That even though you were broken, God restored you. That's the message of the cross. His redemption work is for a lifetime. His restoration is for a lifetime. And He wants to piece together the brokenness of your heart. Don't think that you got to have it together when you come into the presence of God. In fact, He wants you to come as you are. And you know what the great thing is? God is not just present on Sundays. He's going to be there tonight. He's going to be there tomorrow morning, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And by faith, you can just come into His presence in prayer. Call on the name of Jesus, and He will be there. He will be there. Before I bless you all, can I just get a raise of hands of the students that are about to face more exams and assignments this week? Can I just pray with you, church? Can we just pray for these students if you've got VCE exams as well? Lord Jesus, you know all of us here who are facing exams and facing studies. We know that you are a God that is not removed from our situation. In fact, you take pleasure in being part of every detail of our lives. You created us and you adopted us into your kingdom so that you could father us, God. And so, God, I ask that every single person in this place, when they are facing exams and they're facing stress, that they will remember that your presence is there. That you will call them into fellowship with you, and Holy Spirit, you will comfort them in that moment, knowing that they are not alone. That this is something that they can go through with you. God, bless them. Lord, give them clarity of mind. Give them wisdom to manage their time. Lord, give them a self-control to know what to prioritize in this time, that they don't always have to catch up with their study, but rather they know to put their studies as a priority during this time, God. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you will give them a peace during this exam time, in Jesus' name. And church, would you lift your hands with me? May the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus, the extravagant love of God, and the intimate friendship of His Holy Spirit be with you all this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great Sunday and a fabulous week.